We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I think the Bruins, you know, are probably better.
Thank you for the kind words.
Dale Arnold.
Waving the banner, the head coach of the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, Bill Belichick.
Don't do banners, just try to coach the team.
Rich Keefe.
And everybody from Cleveland is driving in runs. Even Willie Mays Hayes.
Dale and Keefe.
Nothing says party like FD Harry Guys.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We heard the audio there in the open of Doc talking about Belichick waving the fan banner, captain's flag.
All right, that doesn't fire you up. I don't know what does.
Now, help me out here because I was there. I didn't see it on TV.
Yeah.
I take it they didn't show it live.
I don't
think
so.
They taped it and showed it later on. Is that how it
worked? They showed it right before, right after the national anthem. They did the national anthem and they showed it afterwards.
Yeah, because obviously it happens before that. There was a Twitter video making the rounds after Bill did his fan banner thing. He's in the runway underneath the stands there, and he's walking along, and he takes a detour. He hard rights it to go over to greet Todd Angeli, who's the anthem singer.
Knows. Bill's a big Bruins fan.
And I talked to Todd briefly last night upstairs because he's back, you know, working as a bartender on the AT&T Sports Deck. And I went and talked to him, and he said I couldn't believe that he did that. You know, it was like he was pleasantly shocked.
Already the best Bruins national anthem singer they've ever had.
He's really
good. The best.
I mean, what they did this year, because Rene Rancourt retired after last season.
He sure did.
And what they did was they held auditions, and they kind of worked a bunch of different people.
Were you one of the judges? Was it America's Got Talent situation?
I would have, but I was not one of the judges. But they kind of worked some people in during the course of the season. But then as the season went along, it sort of became
time. We got a guy. And, you're all set.
You know, and I'm telling you, I've worked upstairs next to Todd for years.
That's pretty amazing.
Never knew that he was a singer.
And he didn't just start in song?
No.
Out of the blue?
Nice guy. Yeah. Everybody likes him. You know, does a real good job. And all of a sudden, you know, one night I go, wait a minute. That's Todd.
I've seen you before. So when you audition to do the national anthem, do you think you have to sing the national anthem?
Oh, that's what they did, yes.
Or could you maybe like, hey, I got an original.
I got something I just want to try out on you.
You're like, put the guitar down. We don't need this. This isn't American Idol. Stop it. No, but they found a good one. He's great.
He does a great job. And Bill Belichick wanted to appreciate his work.
Good. He's come a long way, too.
Say, can you see?
I'm going to fight you if you try to stick Todd Angeli's name on that.
That guy tried. That guy was the backup. He wasn't even the guy that was supposed to sing that day.
Let me hear you, people.
He did his best. He tried to get the crowd into it, which is a risk, I think, in the national anthem.
And the Rockets. Well,
he would not have passed the audition process.
I'll be honest, though. People make fun of people who forget the words. And they're like, how could you forget the words when you're not American? I would, because I would be so worried about trying to get the pace right and trying to... I mean, my voice is terrible, but I'd be so worried about the singing part that I would forget the words.
You can also hear the feedback in your little earpiece, so that can confuse you. And that's
I don't know if this guy had an earpiece. This was minor league stick.
This guy was also walking around while he was doing it. True. So it was more of an interactive
performance. Like that kind of explore the space a little
bit. Exactly. You never know what's going to happen.
Surprise!
Oof.
Maybe he needed to just have a sit.
My one demand would be give me a wireless mic. I don't want to be stuck there. I gotta really walk around, really explore it.
By the dawn's early light.
Not bad. That's mostly awful. The words, isn't it?
It was terrible.
He's right there, though.
Thank God we have Todd Angeli in
this
town and not that guy.
I wonder how the St. Louis guy is, because we've seen some, like the Columbus guy I thought was good. Carolina guy, I forget. Oh, yeah, no, he was wearing like a jersey, I think. No, I'm out on that guy. The St. Louis guy, we'll find out. Find out on Saturday.
I don't remember. I mean, we did a game in St. Louis. And
yeah.
I worked.
I've seen some of their playoff games, but I haven't seen any of their anthems. So we'll see how it goes.
So the cry amongst some Bruins fans are the St. Louis Blues are dirty. And last night, Oscar Sundqvist took out Matt Grizzlick.
Kind of hard to argue, isn't it? Like, you don't want to say, like, they're dirty, it's unfair. Because guess what? You can hit them back. You can do whatever. You can kind of police yourself. But San Jose was complaining about it, and now you're watching it firsthand.
And you saw San Jose lose guy after guy after guy.
Something's there.
And, the Bruins, they at least lost Grizzlick for, most of last night's game. My guess is probably going to lose him for more than that. Sundqvist will have his hearing today. Not everybody thought that the hit was dirty. Not everyone.
No. Well, they're Blues players and fans.
Well, no, they thought it was fine. Yeah. And Don Cherry, working on Hockey Night in Canada last night, had his take.
Kids, you never, ever go in the corners like this. He didn't mean to hit him. He was just finishing his check. This is a penalty here. Look how he goes in head first. He's just asking for it. I mean, I don't blame the guy. He just finished his check. He didn't mean to hit him in the head. You never go in the corner like that. You never, ever do it like that. You're just asking for it. And this is the old deal with the helmet on. Remember, Nick and I were talking. You'd have your head on a swivel. You'd never go in like that. Anyhow, that's a one shot.
I love me some Don Cherry.
Yeah, what is he losing
but
it?
Please.
Lost
Don,
it, maybe.
I mean, he wasn't trying to hit him in the head. Then why did he elevate to hit him in the head?
Yeah, because Grizzlick did go in there, and again, it was kind of awkward. I don't know if he lost his footing a little bit, and his head was lower, then it went up. And when you watch the replay, Sundqvist was lining up the head, it looked like, while it was lower. And then when Grizzlick kind of popped up, so did he. And it was like, okay, so now anytime a guy goes over there, you're expected to get your face driven into the boards. Is that what it's supposed to be? Because that to me was definitely, I couldn't believe it was only 2 minutes when they gave the penalty.
Well, that's what happened with the McAvoy hit that ultimately resulted in his one game suspension. And it's almost like the officials in the NHL are saying, look, we're not gonna affect the outcome of this game by giving him a major, a 5 minute major. For boarding, intent to injure, and what that might do to the outcome of this game. We'll let the league sort it out later on.
Right.
But don't they kind of help the result of the game by not calling it what it should have been?
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'll tell you this. The NHL has said, the following grounds, this is what they wrote on NHL.com. The following grounds are being considered for supplemental discipline. Boarding. However, the Department of Player Safety retains the right to make adjustments to the infraction upon review. So, I mean, they can't go back and say, okay, now we're going to change it to a 5 minute major. We're going to go back and play this thing.
If they give him another power play right now, it probably wouldn't matter.
It might not.
Yeah, same result.
But they can ultimately, at this point, say, you know what? That was an intent to injure, should have been a major, and that's why we're suspending him for X.
I mean, he just finished his check. He didn't mean to hit him in the head.
I think he kind of did. Now, I don't know much about Oscar Sundqvist. Is he known as a dirtier player, player, nothing like that, right?
But I got a feeling you don't play for Craig Berube unless you play a certain way.
I was going to say Swedish. How many dirty Swedish players are there?
Yeah.
Any?
There's some Finns.
Old
Samuelson, a couple of those, but
Swedish guys kind of rather skate around you, but Sundqvist, he delivered quite a hit, though.
So everybody's talking about that and the whole thing about, and again, this goes back to the San Jose series where the Sharks, and they were losing players left and right.
It did sound like kind of sour grapes, though, I thought. Like, oh, we're losing and our guys are hurt. Like, they're hurting us. Like, wah. And so you can't use it as an excuse. You can't. But then you just, all right, how do you combat that? How do you go about it? And you got guys like Chara. You got guys like Backes. You got some other physical players on the team. Not saying you have to go out there and try to injure them, but guess what? You have to let them know that that's not going to fly. And if you're going after our guys, we're going to go right back after you.
So Brad Marchand was asked about the hit last night. He was one of the guys. By the way, no Bergeron at his locker after the game.
What's up with that, by the
way? No Chara. No Krejci.
So all your captains didn't talk?
They didn't. They were not available.
So, again,
which is not a good look, by the way.
I think it's a terrible look. And if this was Kyrie Irving, what would everybody be saying? Right, if this was a basketball player who pouted off the court and didn't talk to the media after a loss in the middle of a series, that is really bizarre because those guys, none of them feel like guys that have done that in the past. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm forgetting a time where they lost and weren't accountable. But how are they not there, even for 2-5 minutes, whatever it is? That's a weird thing. Was that the team deciding that? Was that the players deciding that?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. But Marchand was at his locker. He did answer questions, and among the questions he was asked was about the hit against Matt Grizzlick last night.
You have an opinion on the hit?
No, I mean, it is what it is. Video show, so see which way the media spins it.
Here we go.
He's got a thing going with the media right now.
He's having a time.
He's having a time with the media, and no, Brad, it doesn't have anything to do with how the media spins it. It has to do with how the NHL will look at the video and break it down frame by frame. But because he's got this little feud going on with the media, it was, it depends on how the media spins it.
Because I thought he had a feud with the one guy. Remember that one guy that was, from TSN, I think, that was interviewing him and made the joke about, oh, you're going to get your skate sharpened or whatever. He made that joke against the Columbus series. I thought that was kind of it. But then he kind of carried that over to everybody else. And whether it was, post-game or, in between games, whatever it was, he kind of was really short with the media. And this one, just, he looks silly doing it this way, because they asked him what were his thoughts on the hit. And he says, it doesn't matter, it's up to the media. Well, you have an opportunity to say how you feel right now. In fact, the media is the one asking you how you feel about that hit.
And he's probably concerned about bulletin board material. I understand that, which is why he said, the video shows.
Yeah.
I mean, the video, what's ironic is that the video apparently doesn't look the same to everybody. I've heard some people say, oh, that's clearly a shot to the head. I've heard other people say, come on, he hit him in the shoulder.
Right.
Don Cherry didn't think the video was very clear that it was a bad hit.
I don't think he hit him in the shoulder.
The NHL did look at the video and say it was a bad hit, and we want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem was there. And again, he has been pretty consistent, though. After a win or after a loss, he seems to be salty Brad Marchand, so I don't know if this is... It's clearly not helping him in these first two games, but maybe if he can use that as whatever kind of weird motivation for Game 3, then fine.
Three games and ultimately advancing to the conference final.
You did a good job.
Opportunity that lies ahead of you.
It's been fun.
So I see where this is going here. I'll ask you one more about your line. It got back together. You had said the chances over there were just starting to bury it these last few games. What kind of zone are you three in?
We're good.
Thanks.
He's kind of crabby. He's crabby this whole playoff run. And he's been really up and down,
and maybe
too.
he feels to be a little salty to get himself to a certain edge, to get himself to a certain point in his game.
Yeah, I guess. But you have him, so he's talking to the media. He clearly doesn't want to, so he talks to the media after the game last night. But then Bergeron, Chara, and Krejci don't?
And I don't want to really make it sound weird, like they were the only ones. They were not available. And since one guy wears a C and two guys wear A's, you would have expected them to be out there.
I don't care if Danton Heinen's available or not, right? I think most people don't care. Like, some of those guys, like, I don't need to hear from Clifton. And so,
although he does a real good interview.
No, he's nice. I'm just saying, like, ultimately, I'm not going to pin it on him. Like, Backes, was he the only guy that went to the podium? Or he and Rask went to the podium last night?
I didn't see podiums. We were playing dressing room sound on our post-game show. We were in the room. I know Backes spoke in the dressing room.
Yeah, so that's a weird thing. I mean, he's showing his leadership, I guess, but those other guys you kind of lean on, and for them to not say anything is really bizarre, and it's a bad look. Again, imagine what people would be saying if the Celtics, or when Kyrie Irving says, I'm not going to talk to anybody. People would be losing their minds. They already say he's a bad leader, and now he won't go there. And after a loss, that's the most important time to go up there and say something. Don't make the other guys speak for you.
And I don't want to make this sound like these guys don't normally stand there and face the music. They do.
No, but that's worse now, which is why
it kind of stuck out last night. I mean, Chara is never afraid to take responsibility. Bergeron always stands there and answers the questions. The fact that they weren't out there last night kind of jumped out at people.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I think that's a terrible look for those guys, because we talked about how good the team is. Like, the chemistry of the team is great, and I'm not saying this is going to derail it, but the chemistry is great, the leadership is great, but that is an odd thing, to make other guys, these are the longest tenured guys, these are the guys that were on the 11 cup winning team, the 13 losing team, things have been riding great, they win 8 in a row, they lose one game, and now they can't talk to anybody?
I mean, a texter is suggesting that maybe they went to the hospital to be with Matt Grizzlick. I guess it's possible.
He couldn't wait 5 minutes?
Theoretically, it's possible. I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It is possible. Yes, it's theoretically within the realm of possibility, but I don't think that's what happened.
I'm going to rule it out.
Well, there you go.
I don't have any sources on that, but I'm going to rule it
okay.
out.
That's okay. It doesn't stop some people, so let her rip.
Yep.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. PJ Stock will join us at the bottom of the hour. Joe's in Rhode Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dale. A couple of things. Obviously, the first line's got to get going. I think the Bruins need to bring a heck of a lot more urgency to their game. But my question is this, and I look at one particular player, and obviously this guy's not the reason they lost, but Danton Heinen's game, he hasn't put the puck in the ocean. This is a very physical series. Isn't there anybody in the Black Aces that could step up and take his spot? Because I saw nothing from him last night.
I'll disagree with you to this extent, not to the extent about, you know, not scoring. You're right. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. I think he has actually become a sneaky key part of that Coyle Johansson line. He does so many little things that you know don't show up on score sheets. He's so sound defensively. He's so responsible in his own end. I disagree with you completely. He's not scoring. I'll grant you that. He's not alone in that regard, but I absolutely would not replace him.
Well, I guess we differ in our opinions.
All right. Look, I understand what
you know. It was last night was the first time he was a minus player in the playoffs since I think it was game 5 of the Toronto series.
Yeah,
he's
been and as I said, it's one of those sneaky really good players who kind of, you know, out of nowhere you go, "Wait, who made that play?"
Right. Yeah, he's not going to score a bunch of goals, but guess what? He didn't in the regular season either. So I don't know why all of a sudden you would expect to get, what do you have, 11 regular season goals? So you're not going to lean on him come playoff time. I think he's been fine. I don't think you need to look too far to see who needs to play better. They're all right there on the top line.
And you're not replacing any of them. You're not taking them out of the lineup.
No, I'm not putting a Black Ace in there right now.
No, I don't think that there's some guy up from Providence who's suddenly going to, you know, take your team. You've lost a game. You won 8 straight.
You won 8 in a row.
You had won 8 in a row, and you lost a game by a goal last night in overtime.
Right.
It's not time to push the Black Ace button here.
And I also think it's weird to say, well, the guy with 11 regular season goals, he needs to pick it up. But the three guys who combined for 100 goals, like it's not their problem. No, it's definitely their problem.
And they're such a key part of the problems on the power play right now.
Yeah, right.
A power play that came into this series with a success rate of 34%.
Best in the league.
In this series so far, the two games, they're at 20%. And it's not like the St. Louis Blues have this incredible penalty kill.
No.
Coming into this series, they were 11th out of the 16 teams who were in the playoffs on the penalty kill. So it's not like, oh my God, how do you score a power play goal against these guys?
Well, they barely had any power play shots. Like, it wasn't even one of those things where they were on the power play and Binnington was making these unbelievable saves, or they were just, you know, they're right there, they're knocking on the door. That wasn't the case. Those were all pretty easy kills that St. Louis had.
John's in Springfield. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could go back this season and find a 20-game stretch where collectively, you know, Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Krejci have played this poorly. I mean, it's unreal.
Wait a minute, that a 20-game stretch?
No, it hasn't been all bad.
There's 20 playoff games. Well,
they have not been that bad in the playoff run here.
They've been horrible, if you put it all together. I mean, what I'm saying is that their fourth line became their best line. Their third line became their second best line. The second best line became the second to worst best line. And number one line became the fourth line. I mean, I've never seen this happen in a playoff.
I think you're picking and choosing the games, though, John. I mean, they've played, 19 playoff games, and those three guys have combined for 23 goals. So they've scored
23 goals out of the 66. So the first 66 goals scored in this beginning season, do you know how many goals that line combined for? About 48 out of the first 66 goals.
They scored 63. Scored 23 of the 63.
John, they are first, second.
Three of Marchand's goals have been empty netters.
John, they are first, second, and fourth on the team in playoff scoring. They have not been bad for the 20 games, 19 games of the playoffs.
Yeah, you can pick a couple of games like last night for sure. The first two games of the Cup, if you want to say the Cup final, they've been bad. I agree with you.
All right, I give you guys that, but say they lose the next three games in a row, right? What's going to be the story?
Oh, my God. Okay, now they're losing three more in a row?
They didn't come to play when they should have, and that's why they didn't win the cup. That's going to be the storyline, guys. I hate to say it to you.
So now you got them losing three straight games. They just won eight in a row. They lose one, and now you got them losing
three more.
You got losing four straight games, guys.
If they lose game three, do you think they're going to be able to swing the momentum back? I don't know.
Yes, I don't think St. Louis is that good. I really don't.
They were down three games to two to Toronto.
Right.
They beat Winnipeg, Dallas, and San Jose.
Exactly.
They're not that good.
Dallas?
Being Carolina.
San Jose, who's missing half their roster. Freaking Dallas and Winnipeg? What are you talking about?
Winnipeg, we're cup contenders at the beginning of the season, guys.
What happened to Carlson and Pavelski and Hurdle? What happened to all their guys?
Listen, I'm a diehard Bruins fan.
You sound like it.
The writing's on the wall,
and they're going to lose the cup because of the play of the first line.
Well, assuming they play really bad for three more games. That's so dumb.
Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Grabar Shine had only five.
Sorry, that was my... I didn't...
Yeah, that was enough.
I was not
that was
trying.
Enough. Listen,
I should have hung up on him before that, but I didn't mean to at that
I
point.
Don't mind being hot and bothered about last night's game. That's fine. They should be. They had a terrible game last night. But to go back and to say the first line has been so bad the whole playoffs, you're picking and choosing games. Because if you just watched last night's game, I'm with you. Game one, I'm with you. What was it? It was game seven of the Leaf series, whatever. There's a handful of games you can point to, but yet they still have scored the vast majority of the goals have been from those guys. And I know a lot of them are on the power play, but still they've been there.
I think those still count.
Now, if you want to play it out, and I'd have a hard time believing they have three more stinkers in a row, but okay, fine. To the caller's premise, let's say they do that. Those are the guys that should take the blame. I still have a weird feeling that it'll be Tuukka Rask because that's the way things work around here.
This year it'll be Zdeno Chara.
Maybe it'll be Chara.
It'll be Chara and Rask.
No, but those guys have to play a lot better. But that's really, like, he's like, oh, the story's going to be the first line is terrible. They still need to lose three more games.
The Bruins had a bad night last night and lost by a goal in overtime.
They were real bad and they lost. Yeah, right. They lost by a goal in overtime.
Let's not go nuts here. They had won the previous eight. They had a bad night and lost in overtime last night.
Listen, I think the first line could be better overall. I don't doubt it, but that seems like we're jumping a little.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
To the extreme.
We'll talk to PJ Stock. We'll get his take on how the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final have gone so far. But first, we've got a trend.
It sounds like you don't trust them.
I don't want to say I don't trust them because that's not fair.
Well, we're on the radio. You can say whatever you want. That's fine.
It's Easter weekend. I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can. You know what? He's not as convincing as other goalies. How about that?
If
I'm going to pick guys, he's on my list, but not near the top.
That's former Bruins forward PJ Stock, who will join us right now as well. Coverage of the Bruins and Stanley Cup Final on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. PJ joins us from Canada. Hey, PJ, how are you?
I am good. Thanks for playing a clip where I was doubting a guy who's been all-worldly in the playoffs. So thank you.
That was Jason Rossi, our producer, so if you want to send anything that way. Yeah. So that was you talking about Tuukka Rask. Do you feel differently about him now?
Oh, yeah. I think this is I don't know if I can use this term, but the calmest I've ever seen him look in the net. And I'm in Montreal a lot, so I have the opportunity to watch Carey Price goal. And, Carey doesn't have the most success come NHL success, but he does do things as a goalie. You've seen him on the world stage, obviously Olympics and other, and he has this calming feeling about him, like the players around him when you're watching him. That when Carey's on, it's just like he's so smooth. It's like almost effortless. And there's been times in Tuukka Rask's career where he looks a little bit more like Jonathan Quick, which is a little bit more, gets the job done, but sporadic, and it's kind of, jumping here to there, and then you know, it kind of puts you sometimes in a bad position and it sometimes catches you. It also works for you. It just doesn't look as convincing as the Carey Price way. And I think right now you almost have the best of both worlds with Tuca. He's been able to still have that fast motion and still find a way to look calm and cool through the first, I don't know, month and a half of this out into last night. He's looked spectacular.
Do you think the St. Louis Blues were running him last night?
No, I mean, they're doing what the Bruins are doing to everyone else. I think you know, the Bruins have this offensive swagger that you saw from game one, period two and three, which they've had throughout the year. The Blues don't have that. They have more of a physical confidence. And the way they play is, for them to be successful, is 200 feet being physical all over it. And they have to play that way, almost like the Bruins have to play that way a little bit as well, but they can play with speed, they can play with skill. St. Louis more or less plays kind of the one way. They play a great team way, but they can't cut any corners physically. And physically also means if it's in the blue paint, it's in the blue paint. And the best guy right now in the playoffs for Boston has been Tuca. So you can't change what you've done to be successful, St. Louis, that has got you here. It's not run him over, but just get in his way and make it harder on him.
PJ, they ran him over twice last night.
Listen, I'm a Boston fan too. It's one was driving the net, and the guys that are running him over aren't. The intent isn't, I can't really say the intent, stuff. Not there, but was it Schwartz that ran him over on one, driving the net, when I forget who went wide, someone went wide and Schwartz is driving the net. Yeah, it's so fast, they're getting to him. If you have to take a penalty on Tuukka Rask to benefit your team, listen, I'm not saying from one side or another side, talking hockey. Tuukka's the best player on the Bruins right now. You have to get him off his game. They're bumping in on him. Yeah, they're taking a penalty, but again, everything you do in game 1, 2, 3, 4 is an investment for game 5, 6, 7. And that's what happened in that St. Louis-San Jose series, and they're trying the same recipe against the Bruins. I didn't think it would work. It worked last night. If the Bruins let St. Louis play their physical game, it's going to be a really, really close, tough series. Bruins are a big, strong team, too, and they can skate, and they can move the puck. But last night, they fell into St. Louis's game.
What did you think of the Sundqvist hit on Grizzlick? Do you think that was a dirty hit, and you think that's worthy of a suspension or no?
That was a five-minute no question. Like that was, and I think that ended up kind of costing a little bit the Bruins the game. They're obviously the best power player right now. It hasn't been great in the series. I think they're being way too cute. And I don't know if the time off has affected that. But the power play has to get a little bit more greedy, a little bit more selfish. But anyways, that was a point in the game where it was a two-minute, a long delay, but one of your good teammates is down. It's hard to kind of get going on that power play right after you see that. And they just didn't have it. That was a five. Like, I can't believe it wasn't a five. There's, if you, again, this is radio, so for people watching, you never really see Grizzlick's shoulder. There's real no option for him. Sundqvist is chasing down the puck, and I hate that every defenseman of today's generation, they do play their back. Like, you can't hit me. And last night, unfortunately, Grizzlick got hurt and got hit. But there was real no opportunity for Sundqvist to square up and hit Grizzlick in the shoulder. He can only hit him in the back on that play. And not only did he hit him in the back, but he went from where he should have hit him in the right shoulder to going all the way across his body and hitting him on not only the left shoulder, but the head. And there was an injury on the play. And it was I can't believe it wasn't a five. I can't believe it wasn't a five, especially with that. We just had all the big leagues having a conversation prior to the Price of the Stanley Cup final and talking about safety and all the refereeing and how this has to get better. I have a feeling the referees got together and say, wow, man, that's ugly. That probably should be a five, but if it's a five, it could be the series. Are we making the, what's the right call here? Well, it's definitely a penalty. Is it I cannot believe he's down on the ground. It's a shot to the head. It's a shot from behind. I know he's kind of put themselves in an awkward position, but you still can't hit him. You can hit him. And he did, and that's another one. It's been a tough 2 months. It's such a fast game. I don't want to say anything about those individual refs, but as a group, it's been a tough 2 months of refereeing.
He'll get suspended, won't he?
Listen, I thought it was a five. And to argue the referee's point, it's so fast, man. They got to let these guys use replay. Like, basketball goes on. They walk over 2 seconds. Rugby, they make the quick square. I got to talk for 10 seconds. Baseball's 10 seconds. You know, we spend 5 minutes on looking at an offside call, judging a goal. But on the blatant, obvious ones, like puck goes into the net or over the ball, whatever, they should have had the opportunity to discuss whether or not it's a major, because a major is the player suspended. He's out of the game. And it's not. And it totally influences the outcome of the game. I don't know if he'll be suspended. I think he should be suspended. If they had given him the five yesterday, I think I would have been okay with the five. But there's a penalty that has to be kind of served. And unfortunately, it's on a missed call. So, again, it's a tough one. I heard Brian Burke talk this year. Brian Burke used to be in the position of giving out the penalties. And Brian was talking about how the value of a game suspension during the regular season is worth X. You know, in the second round, it's worth Y. In the finals, it's worth Z. You know, like one game in the first round is worth 2. One in the second round is worth like 3. One in the finals is like 8. So how much during the regular season, that's not even a question, he's suspended. In the finals, going into game 3, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think that's a play. I don't care if it's during the regular season or during the playoffs. It's a dirty play. It's an illegal hit to the head. It's a hit from behind. It's a suspendable offense. It's what you want out of the game. That could really injure the player, not only short-term but long-term. That's what you want out of the game.
What do you think's going on with Marshawn? He had the empty netter in game 1, but these 2 games, he really hasn't looked himself.
No, he hasn't. And I think Daniel Chara went over last night. I wasn't in the building. I'm in Montreal, but watching and have a little talking with him. He just hasn't been himself. And he doesn't, you know, I'm going up and down the Bruins lineup and thinking game 1, you know, who played really well. And, well, guys can come back and be better in game 2. You're expecting the big line to be the big line. Well, of course, Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron. I love Bergeron for so many reasons. And Pastrnak has his skill set. Marchand can do a lot of things on his own. And what makes him great is he can get under your skin. He can play defensively. He can play offensively. He has a slight, like he has so many reasons why you love him. And if you play against him, so many reasons why you hate him. He's not giving St. Louis a reason to hate him for his offensive skill set, for getting under anyone's skin, for his speed, it's 2 games. He has not been great. He's had his moments. And he's a guy that, again, yesterday I had pretty much a 2-on-1, you know, cuts up shorthanded and tries to make a pass to Bergeron. He's got to get selfish. He has an unbelievable release. That line needs to get going. As that line goes, kind of the Bruins do. And that line is just not going right now. And, you know, part of the reason, I think Brad has another level to get to. And he's going to play in St. Louis where that building is going to be rocking. And that, you know, the Bruins have a better first line than St. Louis's first line. Right now, it's tilted the other way.
Let's ask you a final question here, because it's kind of a hot-button topic in these parts. What's your assessment of Zdeno Chara and his game right now?
Well, Big Z looks a little slower. You know, he just played preseason, 82 games, and he's going for 2 months right now. He's not 25 years old anymore, and it's a grind. It's a long grind. And if I'm playing against him, you know that he can be big and physical, intimidating, but you also know at his age and how much ice time he's lost, he can slow down the tack. And you have to continually bump him. Not try and crush him, just make it harder for him to get up the ice. And I think that's been going on all playoffs. And I think it's starting to catch up. Like last night on the Tarasenko goal, I think Brad makes a bad read on that play, and Tarasenko kind of goes by him. And Zdeno's in a good place. There's a good save. And Zdeno has his stick there. But he just doesn't have that second energy blast or that big physical intimidating push that he has at most times. And again, it's a long year, and it's wearing and tearing. He's still Zdeno Chara. He's still an unbelievable player. He's just not as energetic and as fast as he was 10 years ago. But you guys aren't winning without him in your lineup, I don't think. He does so many great things on the penalty kill, so many ways of shutting down plays. It's just around him has to be a little bit better and help him out as well.
PJ, we always appreciate the time, pal. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll get some wins in St. Louis.
All right, pal. We'll see you.
Thanks, PJ.
That is former Bruins forward PJ Stock, now an analyst up in Montreal. 617-779-7937. We've got the latest Kyrie Irving rumors.
Oh, my God. Every day, something new with this guy.
You know, I feel an obligation to keep sharing these with
you. Okay,
good. Because I know it's important to you.
It is. It really is.
We'll get to that coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Shared it with some of my teammates, as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. You guys will have me back. I plan on re-signing here next year.
I had to call Bron.
Sometimes Kyrie Irving gives me a headache.
Sometimes.
Well, I'm just saying.
But every time he talks.
Well, when he plays, I kind of like it.
He's a good player, unless it's the playoffs, and they're in the second round against Milwaukee. Other than that, though, real nice.
All right, so we're going to have this until July 1st. And
oh, yeah.
Whenever he finally puts his name on a contract somewhere, here, New York, somewhere, we'll have these rumors, these updates. And I guess Rick Bucher is the latest guy who is going to tell us exactly mm-hmm. what he thinks is going to happen with Kyrie.
You have any insight on Kyrie?
The latest that I've heard is that it's between Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Wow!
And I've heard...
That was me.
Whoa, no, that was him,
no,
too,
I know.
Though.
Wow!
Like, have you not been following any of this?
Between
it's like he just
Brooklyn
dropped down.
And the Lakers.
Wow! Like, that's been
okay,
one of the rumors
right.
for a while.
It's like he said he's going to the NFL or something.
It really is. Like, that's
he's
going to
be
gonna
playing
retire.
For the Blues in Game 3 on Saturday.
Wow!
Between that's... Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Okay.
Wow!
And I've heard that the Lakers and Kobe Bryant has been busy recruiting Kyrie in particular to try to get him to the Lakers. Now, everything that I've heard, I would still expect that Kyrie is is going to go to Brooklyn. That's the odds-on favorite.
Because he grew up in Jersey, like the Nets.
And if we're going to continue our real estate, he just bought a place in South Orange.
Okay.
So he's moving to South Orange. Is South Orange?
He's not going to live in South Orange if he's playing for the Nets.
Is that where The Sopranos was filmed? Weren't they in South Orange? They're right around there, I think.
I know, our Sopranos expert's on the phone.
The New Jersey Devils practice arena.
Is that right?
Was in
Here we go,
South Orange, New Jersey.
That's pretty good. So he's saying Kobe Bryant, because we talked about the Lakers yesterday. They don't know who's... I mean, Linda Rambis runs the LA Lakers at this point, and I guess they just have all former players.
I think it's going well, too.
Yeah, it's going great. And so Kobe's trying to get Kyrie Irving to go to the Lakers, which would just be the worst thing ever for Kyrie Irving, wouldn't it be? Like, how embarrassing is that? You bag out of Cleveland because you don't want to play with LeBron, which I loved, by the way. But then
he was real high on your Christmas card list.
Yes.
For that decision.
For that day, he was. And then that changed on, January 17th.
And he was off your Christmas card.
He got a couple of Christmas cards out of it. But now he's ruined that. But to go back, talk about tail between your legs and admitting that you're not the man.
It's actually the reason why I don't think he'll end up with the Lakers, just because the visual will be so jarring for him.
It does seem like a bit much, even for him to do that.
Wow!
But the Nets make sense. The Nets, those rumors have been building, because it was both the Nets and the Knicks. I'm surprised that Bucher didn't mention the Knicks in there at all. And then he didn't even mention the Celtics. Because I would have guessed maybe go to the Knicks with Durant or stay with the Celtics.
Nobody thinks he's coming back to the Celtics at this point.
You don't think so?
I mean, I think
Danny Ainge is hopeful.
I'm not
you
even
can
sure
get more money.
I'm not even sure if Wick wants him back. We've wondered that.
No, we have wondered that. I don't know if he would either, but just it's either Kyrie or nobody as far as a big-time free agent just because of the way the salary cap is. So I wonder if they would try to bring him back anyway. But the latest odds, and these have been changing, but the latest sportsbetting.ag odds,
which, let's be honest, website, don't really mean anything.
Yeah, but they're sometimes they're pretty good, and they get a whiff of it. I think, didn't they know Kawhi Leonard was going getting traded to the Raptors? The Raptors were the favorite in that one for a while. So they got a pretty good track record. Plus, they got to cover themselves because they pay these out. So the favorite still, at least last check on sports betting, was the Knicks, which Bucher doesn't mention there. The Nets were second, followed by the Celtics, then the Lakers, then the Clippers.
Kobe Bryant has been busy recruiting Kyrie in particular.
Why don't you just make Kobe Bryant the team president then at this point?
Because Linda doesn't want to give up the gig.
No, that's an important role. Because Kobe's agent is Rob Pelinka, and so that could just tie those guys in nicely. He got Kobe a lunch with dead Heath Ledger.
Yeah, sit down. The two of them.
Just pick your brain on that just a little bit. Yeah, but the Kyrie Irving stuff is just ridiculous, and we have another whole month of it. We have a whole another month.
Oh, boy.
One more month on where is Kyrie Irving going to go.
Wow!
Yeah, I'm telling you, one more month. NBA offseason. The NBA season's still going on. The Celtics should be playing right now. They should be. If they got along, they'd be playing right now. They knew what they were doing. If they had any kind of team chemistry at all, they'd be playing tonight in Golden State.
And even Wick Grosbeck, on an interview, I guess, across the street, said this was a very hard team for him to love.
Yeah.
He's the owner of the team.
He loves the team. They love this team. And that's just, this was 100% a hard team to root for. And right at the center of it was Kyrie Irving. And now we have to wait and see. It's an unbelievable free agent class in the NBA. 7 of the top, 15, 20 players are all available, or they all will be once they opt out of their player options. And where Kyrie goes, it's one of the biggest questions.
I would still expect that Kyrie is is going to go to Brooklyn.
He cracked himself up.
He's laughing about that. Yeah. So then they'd have to trade D'Angelo Russell, I think. I don't think they're going to play together. It's a whole thing. But the Irving-Durant duo, I'm still in favor of that. Whether it's the Knicks or the Nets, I think that's what we're going to see.
617-779-7937. At the bottom of the next hour, at noon 30, A, we've got Red Sox tickets to give away.
Oh, go nowhere.
Because I forgot. And B, we have not yet discussed Towelgate, but we will.
We will discuss Towelgate.
That'll be at the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.